When I've listened to the album, I hadn't seen the film. And the first two or three things that came to my mind were suicide, nostalgia, England. What was your idea about it then?
Yes, those are three things that are definitely three different things that are in there, definitely. It's an album about kind of birth and death and aging and youth and all of these things and all of the kind of points in between. So, without
wishing to be big subjects,
some big subjects that, you know, it's a lot of it is about family as well. All of the big things in life, really, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, usually people write about relationships and love and lost love and what have you. Where did the idea to write about that come from?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I've written lots of songs about kind of romantic relationships. And I wanted to write about different sorts of relationships, more familial relationships. I think a lot to do with becoming a father, and kind of lots of the themes on the record are kind of connected to parenthood. And I think it makes you think about family in a different way. Made me think about my own parents in a different way.
Have you become a father recently?
Three years ago, yeah.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it kind of just, you know, obviously the cliche of it changing everything in your life is completely true, of course it is. But it also changed the way that was thinking about, it gave me a kind of having a different way of thinking about my life, gave me a different way of thinking about what I wanted to write about as a songwriter as well, gave me kind of a new bank of kind of inspiration points, I think, for the songs.
Some of it is so morbid. I'm just referring to the lyrics. You know, about child death sometimes, and it's like, you know, like a lost child. Sometimes it scared me slightly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the film is more kind of morbid than the album. I mean, I don't think that, you know, the album isn't pointedly morbid. And the film needed to be sort of simple in its message, I think, to work. It couldn't. There's not much room for subtlety in a film that doesn't have any dialogue. I think it's almost like a mime or something like that. So the death of the child is a device in the film, which is an uncomfortable thing, obviously, which, you know, it kind of like was a necessary thing in the film to make the film kind of work and to make the viewer understand why the man's life falls apart, I suppose. I think the album isn't as morbid as that. It's I don't think it's as bleak as that. It's got moments of bleakness. It's got moments of lightness. So.
Oh, no, there are a few moments, like, you know, my fingers weaving around your throat, and I think, okay.
Yeah, that's not such a moment of lightness. You've chosen one of the less light moments. But there's things like Kids and Outsiders and you know, the Up songs, I wouldn't say No Tomorrow, but What I'm Trying to Tell You, and those kind of songs, which are quite, feel quite kind of joyous, hopefully, you know.
Although I like that motto of fuck the sorrow, like there's no tomorrow.
Yes, me too. It's a nice one.
Did you ever have, like, fantasies about killing someone? Because when I heard that song, it was like, okay, that guy is so... I mean, that protagonist, and it hasn't got to be you, but that protagonist in the song is like, God, that he's so helpless, and he's so lost it.
Well, I don't think it's about killing someone. It's, oh, do you mean can't give her what she wants?
Yes.
Oh, I see, right, yeah. Initially the song started off as actually something a lot darker and more and more kind of noirish than it ended up. I had to bring it back. Yeah, it did. It did. It was kind of like obviously about murder, and I kind of wanted, I needed to bring it back to make it more ambiguous a little bit, I think. So
why? Where did the idea come from?
When you're writing, you need to kind of, I don't know, you need to try these things out. You kind of, you have to sort of go to all these places and to find out where you need to come back from them. You know, writing's a very, I don't know, it's a sort of strange process. It's like when I'm kind of writing, I'm kind of inhabiting lots of different personas and trying, you know, it's not kind of, I don't just sort of sit down at a piano and a perfectly formed song comes out and I sing it beautifully. It's kind of like, it's sort of, I hate people overhearing me when I'm writing because I kind of, it's just a mess. Yeah, you're just making a noise and a mess and trying stupid things out and kind of like, it's a very sort of embarrassing process. Other people overhearing is kind of like, I just hate it. If I'm kind of in this, working in a studio where I know people can hear me, and, or if I'm working at home or something like that, I much prefer if people have kind of got the TV on or something like that. There's something personal about it, because when you're writing, you're not presenting to the world at that point. You're still working it out. And in order to do something interesting, you've got to get it wrong and push it in the wrong places for it to sort of be interesting, for you to bring it back sometimes. So the first drafts of songs are always kind of like, you know, they're first drafts for a reason, because you've got it wrong and you have to bring it. You can, okay, the tone of that's wrong. I've got to bring it back, or I've got to take it somewhere else. So the first draft of that was a bit darker even.
Also, another thing was nostalgia. You come back to it like when we were young, and then you come back to that theme at the end of the album. Was nostalgia a part of it as well?
Yeah, partly, I suppose. It's, you know, the theme of kind of like looking at childhood, the sort of sunny nature of childhood. But, and it's not all about looking at childhood as a kind of amazing sort of beautiful thing. It's also looking at it as a sort of uncomfortable, terrifying thing as well. So it's looking at it from all different perspectives.
Which comes across very well in the film, where the father kills himself. And
yeah.
Like, even listening to the music, some of the elements, and I'm not saying that it sounds like back in the day, but some of the, you know, there were some elements that reminded me of back in the 90s.
Right.
Like Dogman Star and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought, nice to play with it, you know, because you played with it in a way that it wasn't like, you know, completely the same old same, but like just trying to remind us of what.
I don't think it was a deliberate attempt to sound like that record, but it's kind of in our DNA. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about a band is this kind of chemical thing. That's the sound that we make when the five of us are together. I think in terms of the kind of record it was, there's definitely a look back at that kind of ambition. And almost a look back at a kind of golden age of albums, you know, of those kind of The Hounds of Love and records like that, that had that kind of scope and ambition. So, you know, it's kind of, if it's a nostalgia, it's a nostalgia for something quite ambitious and grand and not kind of too tainted by kind of rushing for the charts and stuff.
Was this album easier to make than Bloodsport? Because I remember talking to you right before Bloodsport, and you were like, you know, I'm a bit worried about when it comes out, because we have been away for such a long time, and, you know, whether, yeah, but I still want to get it out because it's so exciting. Now, you know, you toured and everything was fine and everyone loved it. It was a great album. Was this one a bit easier?
Marginally, but only very, very slightly. Every album's really hard, especially at this phase of our lives, really. It kind of gets harder to...
Why?
I don't know. When you're in your 20s, ideas come easier, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you can. But I think you have there's other things that come into play. You know, experience comes into play, and knowing how to kind of get good results from your writing comes into play, and kind of knowing what's good and what isn't. You know, when you're young, you just sort of write and it kind of all splurges out and you just sort of put it on an album. And now I think we're kind of more self-aware, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I think it's really difficult because through your kind of 20s, lots of stuff you're doing for the first time. You know, you write your first proper ballad, or you write your first proper one chord song, you know what I mean, or your first proper epic. And then, you know, kind of 20 years later, you're in that delicate position of wanting to do the things you're good at, but not wanting just to do what you've done before. I think it's harder and harder to find an interesting place for Suede, you know what I mean, that isn't just the Suede of 20 years ago. And I think that's hard. It's just hard in different ways. It's every record is new ways of it being really hard. You know, I'm sure we'll find another really complicated way of making a record next year.
You know what I liked about this one? I mean, even the beginning of it was great, because you start with these great string arrangements and it's almost got like an oriental feeling about it.
Mm. It's a bit Ben-Hur, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
It's a biblical kind of size to it.
It's almost like it was Babylonian. Which I thought was absolutely great, because if there's one period of history and we know nothing about their music,
yeah,
it's got to be the Babylonians.
Maybe we should sell it to the British Museum as a kind of, you know, a thing they could play in the kind of, you know,
exhibition. There's that crazy guy who spends his life, do you know this guy, putting styluses on pots?
Yes.
Do you know this story?
Yeah,
it's really fascinating. Yeah. He has this theory that the way that you make records, basically, is by vibrating a needle as it etches into something,
mm-hmm.
which is also how you make pottery. So this guy is convinced that if you could find the right stylus, you could put it on pottery from Babylonian times, and you'd hear what was happening in the room at the time.
Just be the sound of a pot being made.
Yeah, but hopefully there'd be a conversation in the background, someone going, that's a really nice pot you're making there, yeah. I love people like that. And this guy who spent his entire life trying and failing to hear anything on these pots. I love people like that.
But I love the thought that there would be anything worth hearing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Anything.
Finally got it working.
As if you'd have Aristotle in the room,
yeah.
or something like that, or Socrates. You know, it would be some guy talking about
yeah.
some fucking donkey that just died.
Yeah.
Or
my donkey.
Yeah, you know.
A song like Kids, which I love, by the way. It's like a nice bouncy song. I guess you're looking forward to playing that live. So are we, you know, can we expect more than just the film? I mean, can we still expect Brett Anderson to go on stage with nice, I don't know, just nice clothes and
very
fashion tough. And, yeah.
Dressed as a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm promising you now. That's exactly what we've got planned. We've got a little tour coming up, which is going to be us playing, doing what we did in London, so us playing the record live behind a screen showing the film with little flashes of us, and then a second set of more kind of bouncy suede stuff. But then, you know, after that, songs like Kids, so yeah, I'm sure they'll turn up in the set much, much faster, as, you know, the way that kind of starts and ends with you has done.
Where did the idea to make that film actually come from? Because, like, you know, it's not usual to, like, make an album and say, oh, let's make a film.
Just a desire not to make videos, really. No, seriously. It's nothing more complicated than that. We'd made this record as one long thing, supposed to be listened to in one long splurge. And then, you know, you start talking about videos and singles and all these things, and suddenly it's like, oh, we're going to go back to that format of kind of, like, chopping it up. And it, literally just discussing videos, it's kind of like, why don't we do a video that stretches, that you have to watch in that way, that you have to immerse yourself in the way that you do with the record? And it's like, well, that's called a film. Okay, so let's make a film. You know, it wasn't a complicated procedure. It wasn't something we had in mind. It was a way of reinforcing the kind of record it is, that it's an album. It's only one other person's version of the record. Do you know what I mean? It's not a more valid version of the record than what you came up with in your head. It's Roger's version of it. It's just quite an interesting idea to have two ways of looking at the songs out at the same time.
To have two official ways of looking at the songs, because normally you just have one, which is the record. Do you know what I mean? And people sort of like interpret that. But if there's two slightly different variations on the interpretation, I think it kind of makes it interesting. Because for me, interpretation is very interesting in music, and everyone's interpretation is just as valid as mine, really.
A few years ago, you said to me you'd like to write a novel.
Did I?
Yeah. Are you any further with that?
No, I'm not any further with that, no. I had an idea of writing about my childhood, actually. I quite liked the idea of that at some point, writing a sort of suburban cider with Rosie.
Yeah, that's what you said to me,
That's kind of what I wanted to do. But I don't really think I'd do it. I had this sort of bloody-minded idea that it would end the moment we got signed, you know what I mean? That kind of... not actually dish any dirt, do you know what I mean? Just kind of like about
that's
kind of like,
that's a quite nice idea.
Kind of like not have anything about.
And after
like
that, nothing really happened.
Sex after that, then it's just sex, drugs, and rock and roll anyway.
And you've heard everything that happens so many times.
Everything has been so well documented, I don't need to say any of it, do you know what I mean? But up until that point, it hasn't. So that's what I thought would be quite amusing and bloody minded, but it probably won't ever happen.
Does it have past haunt you in a way?
I think people have preconceptions about us, but I think our past is inspiring for us. I think the music we've made and the songs we've written are kind of inspiring because we you know, I think that we've set quite a high sort of benchmark with them, and it's just every album we're making is bloody hard because we're trying to compete with these pretty good songs from the past, and I think it's a positive thing, really. I think it's a negative thing. I think it's like, you know, I kind of regret the amount of exposure that the band have had in a funny sort of way. I look back on how we sort of, I regret that we didn't keep a little bit more mystery about ourselves. But that's kind of impossible in this day and age, really. And it's also a factor of the kind of people we are as well. Mm. You know, we're not kind of mumbling kind of, you know, people that just... Do you know what I mean? We're not that sort of people, and for whatever reason, for better or for worse, I think a lot of people think they know what's the way it is, but don't really know it because of their preconceptions about the band. But that's the only way in which I think it's a bad thing.
Because preconceptions can be good as well. Yeah. I mean, one of the great things about making this record is you know, there are people out there who think we make good records. They're going to listen if we make another one. You know, we can do something that isn't immediate or ordinary, and we can present it in a way that isn't the most flattering, exciting way, because people have a preconception that we're good, you know. And it's such an incredible privilege. It really is. It's such a nice thing to be able to say, okay, this one takes a few listens, you know what I mean? There's tracks on the record that really don't, that I didn't get until a few times around them. And it's hard to do that if you're kind of 20 and you're fighting with kind of other bright young things, you know?
I mean, for me, this album was, you have to listen to it. You can't, it's really hard for me to listen to just one song. I have to listen to the whole thing because it's one picture.
Mm. No, that's great. I mean, that's totally what was intended.
I've got a bit of a personal question. Is it hard for you as a musician now? You're a dad. You know, is it hard? Is your perspective on life, you know, being on tour all the time, being away, not being at home, you know, and also the world situation, you know, after what happened in Paris, does that affect you in a way? Does that affect your inner stability?
Yeah, I think it makes you. Feel like the world is always coming to an end. Yeah, I think when you've got someone else to worry about rather than yourself, you kind of like you see the world and you see existence as quite precarious, and you see the life as quite a fragile thing. And I mean, that's partly one of the kind of inspirations for the album, really. You know, seeing the world as this precarious, slightly brutal place because. I have someone else to worry about in life, not just myself. And I think that's one of the key inspirations of the record, yeah.
No, 'cause I thought, like, you know, when you're away, you're missing something. You know, you're missing that little person's development,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm very kind of conscious of that and very aware of that when we're sort of planning stuff. And I kind of just won't do really big long tours anymore. I just can't do them, you know. Even when we're on a European, the last time we did a European tour, I had to sort of come back every sort of 5 days and visit my family, sort of thing, which I would never have done years ago. So get up at bloody 4 a.m. and kind of, you know, get the flight on the day off and do all this sort of stuff just to go back for a couple of hours, because, you know, I don't want to be one of these musicians that is away from, you know, goes back from tour and suddenly their kid, you don't recognise their kids. It's kind of, I don't really want to do that. So it's, I'm very conscious of that. But we're not in that phase of our career where we're doing that anyway. You know, with coming up, we did like 18 months on the road, and we're just not going to do that anymore. It's not going to happen with Suede in 2015. You know, we'll do sort of like shorter tours, and we'll do festivals, and we go away to Asia for a couple of weeks or something like that, but it's not the kind of like real long slug. I don't think any of us want to do it. I don't think it's just because I've got kids.
No, I mean, we said right when we came back, we're not going to get into a kind of treadmill. Because it is really, really easy to get. It's a very pleasant treadmill. You know what I mean? I think that's the danger of it. You know, it's all hotel breakfast and people driving you around. But it's very, very difficult to make every gig interesting and special. And, we, you know, we went through that with the new morning of just being kind of like, oh, this is what we do. You know what I mean? It has to be slightly edgy and it has to be special. And you have to kind of, sometimes you have to make it special, you know, force it to be special.
I worried about you when the new morning came out. I remember interviewing you guys and I'm being very honest. I've never heard Rat sounding like a record and doing an interview like a new morning. And I was like, you sounded like you learned your answers by heart.
Really? Yeah. Well, I was probably trying to convince myself, to be honest. It's a hard period for all of us, I think, you know, but I can only speak for myself. You know, it was easily our worst record we've ever made by a long way, and we shouldn't have really released it. But in order to release a record, you've got to believe in it, and you've got to convince yourself. It's, you know, you can't sort of sit there in interviews and sort of say, God, this record's not very good. It's only with hindsight that you can look at these things and really judge them, to be honest. I mean,
it wasn't that bad.
I mean, it's whatever. It's a, you know, but it's a weak record compared to, you know, this record or to you know, to whatever, the debut album, or you know, it's not in the same league.
It's really hard because, you know, everyone's got a job to do. You know, that there are certain questions everyone has to ask.
Absolutely, you know
what I mean? They have to ask what the record's like and what, you know, what the meanings of it are, because, you know, that's what readers want. But at the same time, it's very difficult to, with all these things, you're trying to say something truthful. You're trying to say something that illuminates the record rather than just fills up column inches. But yeah, by the end of the day, it's very difficult to do that.
Oh.
It takes a good question.
We have these really hard lives where we get flown to European cities. And we have to talk about
how great we are,
to people. It's really, really hard. I mean, we should, you know, just become plumbers or something like that.
It's not hard. It's hard to do.
Let's not complain about it. It's an amazing.
It's
thing.
Awful.
It's like
horrendous.
No one has ever suffered the way I do.
It's like models complaining that standing in front of the camera is very tiring on their feet. We're not complaining. It's a wonderful thing to do. I love doing what we do.
Do you still get that feeling of, you know, like rock and roll? Like, you know, like a song like Outsiders, you cannot write a song like that without still kind of having that twitch in you, like that energy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we feel it even more now. It's, you know, the live sort of forum is such an exciting, vital place. I think we're a much, much better live band than we ever were in the 90s. And I think we kind of prove it again and again on stage. And yeah, the power of rock music is very, very powerful. It really is. It's an utter cliche. It's kind of, you know, it's been done a million times, but it's vital and powerful.
Any other chance to see you at any European festivals apart from that mini tour in February?
I'm sure we will. Well, I mean, we don't know yet, but that's the idea. We'd like to play everywhere. There's lots of places that I'd like to go back to, but you know, it's that kind of record that I'd like to get it out everywhere in Asia and South America and all these places. But yes. Can't say where, I can't say when, but we will be there when you least expect us.
Any other news on any other projects that are happening? I mean, this record already is for you, kind of done and dusted, so you may already be writing other stuff, you never know.
No, I mean, the trouble is the live show is quite complicated, so we've spent the last month, 2 months doing that, and then over Christmas we'll probably have a little think about what we're going to do next, but once we go onto the road, you become slightly brain dead. It's like a zombie movie once you actually get in that bus.
It becomes all about sleep and pizza.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you think about when you're on tour. Seriously, that's my two, you know, thoughts. Apart from the hour and a half you're on stage, the rest of the whole thing is about how much sleep you can get.
Where can I sleep?
Where and when can I sleep, and how much food can I eat?
Did the pizza arrive while I was asleep?
That's the only thing that matters when you're on tour.
Imagine me so boring.
You become a sort of almost like a kind of woodlouse or something like that. Just your needs become so simple, don't they?
Apart from that 1.5 hours on stage when you're a griffin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
what's so difficult about the stage show then?
Oh, just because the film's playing at the same time.
Oh.
The record really has to be played in one go. We're not really used to that kind of organisation. We're used to being a bit freer. We have to stand on little platforms because otherwise it's just our heads poking out. And that, I think that might be the hardest thing, actually.
But how do you do that? I mean, how do you make it happen? I mean, how do you end the set with the film? Or do you just, like, take little snippets out of the film and show them at a time? Or?
No, it's the whole film. It's the whole film. And we play the whole record through from start to finish behind it.
But what happens if you play a bit faster than the film?
No, we have a man speeding the film up.
Ah!
We don't play to a click track. We just play the record.
We have some
as a live band, and we have someone else that has to catch up with us. So it all feels quite organic. Right?
The guy who literally went grey the night we first played it, as he realised quite how much we speed up and slow down. And
we aged him.
Yeah.
The beauty of live music is it's about reinterpretation. I think, you know, I wish that, you know, looking back at lots of Suede songs from the past, you know, where they would have been much better recordings if we'd have played them live for a while. First, you know, I love the way the Suede songs sound live, and you hear the recordings of them, and they don't do it justice, to be honest. It's a real shame. That's one of the things that I regret in life, but that's the way it is. You can't go back to these things. Right. You really can't go back to them. It's impossible. Once they're there, they're there.
Mm.
You have to sort of just try and learn from your mistakes in the future. And I think, you know, the way Night Thought sounds now, I think it sounds amazing. I know you hear something like Outsiders on the radio, and it just sounds so full and kind of like and powerful, and you know, we've learned a lot in the last 25 years. We've learned how to sort of record music properly, which we sort of didn't really know how to do in the early days, unfortunately.
That title, Night Thoughts, I mean, the nights has always been that scary thing, and at the same time something really mysterious.
Yeah.
But why Night Thoughts?
I don't know, the nights, you know, it's this sort of primal time, isn't it? That kind of human beings become sort of afraid. And I think it's a reference to those sort of moments at 4 a.m. when you're kind of, the world seems quite a fearful place, really.
I hope you haven't suffered from those lately.
No, it's kind of, you know, it's partly, you know, what we were talking about earlier about seeing the world as, you know, existence is quite fragile and all of these sorts of things. It's those kind of paranoia thoughts, really. That's what the album refers to.
It's quite good to get it out of music, actually.
yeah. Well, it's not, you know, it's not a kind of, I don't know, I suppose it's quite a sort of dark starting point, but it's, you know, again, that's my interpretation. I kind of, it's always so interesting putting two words together, you know, night and thoughts.
Course,
and it's,
yeah.
It's kind of like, it conjures lots of different things up to lots of different people. Most people, you know, 99% of the people that hear that hear the title Night Thoughts won't know what my starting point for that title was, or care.
Mm.
And they'll just hear the title Night Thoughts, and it'll kind of mean something completely different to them. They'll have their interpretation, you know. As soon as you put it with an image, it's interesting.
What's the cover of the album going to be like?
Randomly, unconnected to the film, it's a picture of a girl floating above an abyss of sea. It's kind of almost like an Ophelia thing, but a tiny figure against kind of a sea of black. And we had it before Roger decided to make drowning the kind of central point of the film. It was quite strange. I kind of gave him the. The picture, and he's like, oh, that's quite strange. But I suppose there's something about the overwhelming nature of the sea and that idea, again, of a figure being lost, like like someone waking up 4 a.m.
Yeah, there's lots of sound design on the record, you know, lots of the, you know, once we'd actually made the record and compiled it, we sort of felt as though it needed other stuff, so we spent a few months kind of recording, writing new bits of music that linked all the songs together, and some of the bits of music, like the start of When You Were Young, was something we came up afterwards, and like the little lullaby before Like Kids was something that we put on as well, and lots of these things were kind of like almost like post-production sort of things, you know.
Was that a children's choir, or where did you get the kids from with Like
They're
Kids?
They were just from a local school, yeah, just from like a few kids just to attract up. And
was that your idea to do that, or?
Well, it's kind of, lots of it was, after we finished the record, like, so me and Neil sat down and kind of and sort of looked at what we needed to make the record sort of sit all for make the songs all sit together, and the recorded speech of the old lady at the end as well. That's something that I did. I went into a cafe and started talking to this old lady, and she sort of just chatted to me about kind of life and regret. I don't know. She said, you know, the way that old people kind of like are happy to sort of chat away and this kind of, and she just said some amazing things that just sort of. You know, she even said the phrase "When You're Young." It kind of like, we had obviously had the song "When You're Young," and we were going to get someone, an actor, to kind of replace it because it was the quality of the the quality of the recording wasn't good. But we tried that, and it just didn't have the magic, so we used that instead. Even though you can hear the sound of a cafe there.
Was that the reason you kind of brought that theme back? Because it's on the album twice. It's actually two tracks called "When You're Young."
Yeah, well, one track's called "When You Are Young," one's called "When You Were Young," and it's kind of a, you know, one's from one perspective on youth, and the other's from the other perspective, isn't it? So it's just changing one word kind of gives it a sense of regret. I think I quite like that. It could seem like quite an elegant thing to do.
Although it's the same lyrics.
It is,
the
yeah.
Same
yeah.
Song, actually.
Yeah, but exactly that's the whole point. That it's kind of exactly the same lyrics, but with one word changed, and it kind of has a completely different meaning. I quite like that.
Very nice.
Almost mirrors it.
Thank you so, so much.